So my dad gets upset because they're not really allowed to teach science anymore in public schools because of all these sort of right-wing, you know, people who have taken control of school boards. And my mom gets really sad because they don't teach history anymore either in schools. And my sister will cry out to heaven for vengeance because there's all these kids who never get art anymore. And me, I just think, they don't really teach revolution anymore in those public schools. So you've heard of speed dating. This is speed revolution. Okay. So liberals and radicals. There's some cardinal differences between the two. Liberals believe that society is made up of individuals. And in this view, individualism is so sacrosanct that being identified as a member of a group, that's where they identify the harm. Okay, that's social harm, being part of a group. Radicals, it's completely separate. For radicals, society is made up of classes of people, and in Marx's original version, this was, of course, economic class. You don't need to be a Marxist to understand that as a radical, you owe him a debt, because he was the one that really chopped this off. So society is made up of groups of people, and some groups have power over other people. So being a member of a group is not an affront. I mean, far from it. Actually identifying with the group is the first step toward political consciousness and ultimately toward effective political action. You make common cause with the people who share your condition, and that's how social change happens. Now, the other big division is in the nature of social reality. So for liberals, it's called idealism, and this means that society, culture, is made up of, it's a mental event, so it's made up of attitudes and ideas, and social change happens through rational argument and through education. For the radical side of this, it's completely different. Radicals see society as made up of material institutions, so those create the conditions under which we all live. So the solution to oppression on the radical side is to take those systems apart, brick by brick. So on the liberal end, they're going to say, well, we have to educate, educate, educate. And the radicals will say, ultimately, actually, we have to stop them. So if you remove power from the equation, which is what liberalism ultimately does, oppression looks either natural or voluntary. Right? It erases the fact that it's social subordination. So race, class, gender, these are seen as biologically real in some sense, physically real, or even cosmically real. So next slide. So there is a distinct, substantive, immutable feminine gender, and it cannot be transcended. Now, that couldn't be clearer. And I probably don't need to point out, I come from a long line of women who would take great issue with this. Okay, so race and gender are politically real, brutally, murderously real on a global scale. But it's the ideology of the powerful that always makes this claim for some immutable origin, like biology or cosmology. It's something that can't be questioned or changed, is really the point. So, next slide. So this is a famous article. There are piles of others. But they're all desperate to prove that black people were naturally inferior. Next slide. So they have charts, and you've got pictures. Next slide. This is the propaganda of power. And in this article, Robert Bennett Bean also makes the argument that the same brain differences exist in these two, women and poor people. So black people, poor people, women, all have stupid for brains. Okay, next slide. So people can get confused here. I understand there's a bunch of different categories that we're talking about. There's sex and then there's gender. So sex is a biological category, right? There's male and there's female. Those are simply facts in nature. What power makes of that is something different, and that's what gender is. So, you know, you can look at human beings and say, you know, similarly, look, there's a range of skin tones. There's a range of facial features. You know, there is this thing where people look a little different. Power is the one that creates this thing called race and says, no, these people are different. It's not just, you know, oh, what do you know, a little diversity. It's, no, these people are actually different from us. They're naturally different. And it's the same thing with gender. Okay, slide. So this is actually the World Health Organization, the United Nations, and they're making the same distinction. Sex means that, you know, men have testicles, women have ovaries. Fine, that's just biologically true. But gender, on the other hand, is the political creation. Because patriarchy has to separate who counts as human and who counts as an appropriate target for violation. And that's what gender is, that political demarcation. So gender, like race, it's disguised as evolution or biology or God, because they have to naturalize those political categories. But from the vantage point of human rights, these are unjust systems that have to be dismantled until the categories, race, class, gender, until they no longer make any sense, because they are the creation of power. Okay, next. So naturalism, over on the liberal side, that operates in the service of power, and so does voluntarism. You've only got two choices here. If it's not natural, then it has to be voluntary. Okay, if you're not going to see that power creates this system, why are some people just somehow volunteering to be in these subordinate roles? And you can't answer that question if you're a liberal beyond saying, well, we're self-willed individuals and some people are just choosing this. Okay, next slide. So what liberals don't understand is that 90% of oppression is consensual. As Florence Kennedy wrote, there can be no really pervasive system of oppression without the consent of the oppressed. This does not mean that it's our fault, that the system will crumble if we withdraw consent, or that we are in any way responsible for this situation. All it means is that the powerful, so the colonialists, the white supremacists, the masculinists, the capitalists, whoever, they can't stand over vast numbers of people with guns 24/7. And luckily for them, which is to say depressingly for the rest of us, they don't have to. Next slide. People withstand oppression using three psychological methods: denial, accommodation, and consent. Anyone on the receiving end of domination learns early in life to stay in line or risk the consequences. And those consequences only have to be applied once in a while to be effective. The traumatized psyche will then police itself. So, if they had but known, they were slaves. Next slide. There are entire bodies of discourse that try to answer this question. How do the powerful get the oppressed to internalize the values of the oppressor? And that's what ideology is. So how do they get us to internalize this such that we police ourselves, so that we behave? I mean, it's why the word hegemony was created, is to explain this. But my take-home point, do not ever conflate consent with liberation. Consent is accommodation to unjust conditions that we do not control. Liberation is the overthrow of those conditions. Okay, we've been talking about oppression. We haven't actually defined that yet. So, next slide. This is Marilyn Fry, and I have yet to find a better definition. Oppression is a system of interrelated forces and barriers which reduce, immobilize, and mold people who belong to a certain group and affect their subordination to another group. Okay, that is radicalism in one elegant sentence. Oppression is not an attitude. It's not an internal feeling state. It's a system of power, right? It's material reality. And one of the harms of subordination is that it creates not just injustice and not just exploitation and not even abuse, but also consent. Okay, next. Marilyn Fry uses the image of a birdcage. So one wire is not going to hold that bird. But oppression is like a cage. It's a system of interrelated barriers and forces. It's how all those wires work together. If you don't see that it's a system, well, the bird wants to be in that cage. The bird must enjoy being in that cage. The bird is singing, she's eating, she may even be laying eggs. The bird is volunteering to be in that cage because it's the bird's nature to be in that cage. Next slide. So there is a distinct, substantive, immutable, next slide, caged birdness, and it cannot be transcended. I promise you, take that bird away, that bird will pretty quickly transcend that caged birdness. So, next slide. So the interrelated barriers create subordination. Well, what's subordination? Next slide. And this is Andrea Dworkin being brilliant as usual. Number one is hierarchy. So this is basic radical perspective. There's a group on the top, a group on the bottom, and the group on the bottom has fewer resources, fewer rights, and of course is seen as, you know, somehow subhuman. Number two is objectification. So the members of that bottom group are treated as things, as property, as commodities. One example would be there are entire countries right now that are balancing their budgets, paying off their international debt by selling women to men. Another example would be there are entire villages in India where all of the women only have one kidney. None of the men, right? All the men get to keep their kidneys. All the women, literally all of them, only have one kidney. And that's because their husbands have sold the other one. And that's what it means to be a commodity. You are a set of resources that somebody else gets to extract. Okay, next. So the bottom group typically complies with the wishes and the self-defined needs of the top group. You have to, because that's how you survive. In fact, depressed people are generally very good at predicting what those wishes and needs are going to be so that we can comply. And this is the situation that the oppressed always face. Next slide. Yeah. The rock in the hard place. And the thing is that, you know, there's no way out. There's no way to win. Because if you comply, well, then you're subordinated, and that's the harm. If you resist, you will be punished until you're either dead or you comply. And then you're subordinated, and that's the harm. And either way, it's used to prove that, indeed, you belong right where you are, which is to say subordinated. And there's no way out, not as individuals. There are no personal solutions to these social, political institutions. The only way out is organized political resistance. So the final key here is violence. And when that's committed by the group on top, it is, of course, natural, necessary, right? It's just the fabric of society, right? And most of it, in fact, is completely structural, so we don't even see it. The people on the top don't even have to dirty their hands. It's done for them. You know, the economic system does it. Psychology does it. The medical system does it. Certainly the law does it, right? So we don't even notice it. Because it's perfectly rationalized and then it's institutionalized. So you can take all this and apply it anywhere. So liberal radical, oppression, subordination, and ultimately organized resistance. This being a feminist event, I'm going to apply it to women. So, next slide. Patriarchy takes human beings who are biologically male and creates a class of people called men. Now, men are made by socializations and masculinity, and that's the process that turns a child into a boy and then into a man. Being a man requires a psychology based on entitlement, emotional numbness, and a dichotomy of self and other. And all three of those are sort of, you know, an endless loop that feed into each other. Next slide. And their first despised other is, of course, girls. No insult is worse than some form of girl, and that's usually part of female anatomy turned into hate speech. But once that psychological process is in place, that category female can easily be filled in by any group that a hierarchical society needs dominated. So masculinity is essential to any militarized culture because that's the psychology necessary in soldiers. We can only kill on command if that human impulse to care for one another has been subordinated in some way, and if that psychological process of othering is well entrenched. Next slide. Central to masculinity is a violation imperative. Men become real men by breaking boundaries. For the entitled psyche, the only reason that no exists is because of the sexual thrill to force past it. The real brilliance of patriarchy is right here. It doesn't just naturalize oppression. It sexualizes acts of domination and submission. It eroticizes acts of political oppression. And then it institutionalizes that into masculinity and femininity. So it naturalizes, and then it eroticizes, and then it institutionalizes. And that is brilliant. The brilliance of feminism is that we figured that out. Proof positive that we don't have stupid for brains. Okay, next. Now, as for femininity, well, that's just a set of behaviors that are, in essence, ritualized submission. Female socialization is a process psychologically constraining and breaking girls, otherwise known as grooming, to create a class of compliant victims. Next slide. Across history, this breaking has included so-called beauty practices like female genital mutilation, like foot binding, as well as the ever-popular child sexual abuse. And if you don't get what's going on, there are women, particularly models, who have had toes removed to fit those horrible shoes. And after a couple of decades of wearing those horrible shoes, this is what will happen to the bones in your feet. So, femininity is really just the traumatized psyche displaying acquiescence. Next. This is not natural. It was not created by God. It is a corrupt and brutal arrangement. Gender is not some kind of neutral binary. It's a hierarchy, global in its reach, sadistic in its practice, murderous in its conclusion, just like race and just like class. Gender demarcates the geopolitical boundaries of patriarchy. It divides us in half, but it's not horizontal. It's vertical. Gender is not some cosmic yin-yang. It's a fist and the flesh that bruises. It's a mouth crushed shut and a little girl who will never be the same. So one group of people that get a lot of PTSD are soldiers who have been in combat. And you know who gets more PTSD, has higher rates of PTSD? Women who have escaped prostitution. And that tells me that the war that men wage against women is actually worse than the wars they wage against each other. Next slide. Without feminism, the realities of women's lives are unspeakable. Each woman cut adrift in a hostile, chaotic sea. You apply the word sex class. Next slide. And that chaos snaps into a sharp pattern of subordination, from the small daily insults to body and soul, to the shattering traumas of rape and incest. The crimes men commit against women aren't done to women as random individuals. They're done because women belong to a subordinate class. And they're done to keep us a subordinate class. This is the exact moment that a radical is born. You've got a group of people named men, and they have power over a group of people named women. It's not individual, and it's not random. It's political, and it's unjust. Next slide. Those unjust conditions are what Andrea Dworkin named the barricade of sexual terrorism. That barricade defines the parameters of gender. It's actually really simple. Women are inside that barricade, men are outside it. Actually, men are building it, fist by fist and fuck by fuck. It's exactly those violent, violating practices that create people called women. That's what men do to break us and keep us broken, and that's what gender is, the breaking and the broken. Noel Ignatieff, the author of How the Irish Became White, has argued for abolishing the white race, defined as white privilege and race identity. You will note, no one is accusing him of wanting to exterminate white people. He wants an end to the social category, because that category is the creation of a brutal system of power. He wants that dismantled. That's all any of us want. Dismantle those oppressive systems until the categories no longer exist. Likewise, the sex class men is simply male privilege and gender identity, and it needs to be abolished if women are ever to be free. Next slide. According to Amnesty International, the most traumatic form of torture is rape. You can read about that on Amnesty's website. You can also just listen to women. So men, you have a choice. You can lay down your weapons and you can pick up your humanity. The truth is, as long as domination is eroticized, as long as anyone is socialized to that violation imperative, you're not safe either. 1 in 7 boys is sexually abused. That is a whole lot of rape. Some of you have learned too well that I am telling the truth, and I am sorry. It is horrible each and every time. The world should stop spinning, and it doesn't, and I don't know why. The question is, what are you going to do now? Are you going to say, do it to her instead? Or are you going to say, no, it stops here. No one, never again. And women, we don't have a choice. You were born female, you were born on a battlefield. You will be punished for even saying that out loud, but the grim truth is, you're going to be punished no matter what for the sin of being female. Battering is the most commonly committed violent crime in the United States. That's a man beating up a woman. A man does that every 18 seconds. That is more hatred than I can comprehend. Right now, that battlefield is such a slaughter, we can't even collect up our wounded. We will never get justice for women until we dismantle the caste system called gender. So that eroticization of power, that barricade of sexual terrorism, brick by brick, we need to take it down. Not accommodate to it, not make the best choices that we can inside it, but bring it down. And that means we're going to have to match their contempt with our courage. We're going to have to match their brute power with our fierce and fragile dreams. And we're going to have to match that endless sadism with a determination that will not bend and will not break and will not stop. Because this is a war. The planet is in shreds. Men's sexual sadism has saturated the globe. Rape is a public pastime. Enough. Liberty and a living planet will only be won when masculinity, its religion, its economics, its psychology, and its sex, is resisted and finally defeated. Next slide. And if we can't do it for ourselves, we've got to do it for her. Now, you love something or you wouldn't be here today. Whatever you love, it is under assault. But love is a verb. We've got to let that love call us to action. Next slide. 5 words to live by. Thank you.